Mark. Round of applause. Get the opportunity to get to know them. It's great. Well, folks,
hi.
I'm back. Great to see you guys today. I mean, it really, really is great to see you guys. For those of you who are brand new and don't know, I just met a new guy here that has just walked in for the first time. 6 weeks ago, I had spinal cord surgery and a tumor on my in my spinal cord column, and that was taken off, and here I am. Now, I get a lot of questions about that surgery and how I'm doing and how I'm recovering. You know what the number one question is? Can I see your scar? I don't know what it is about you people. And so I thought I would just get that out of the way. Now, I think it'd probably be inappropriate for me to take off my shirt here in church. So we had to take a picture of my back. So here, let me show you my scar. Why are you laughing? Now, it's a pretty nasty scar, and I thought, well, I can't live with it during beach season, so maybe, you know, maybe I should cover it up. I had a couple ideas here. First one, give you another idea. There we go. You like that one? You can vote if you like that one. Here's another one. For you Charger fans, what do you think? Huh? 10-6 this year, 10-6. Now, this one was my favorite, and it doesn't necessarily cover up the scar, but I don't think anybody would ever ask about the scar if I had that. Oh, listen, surgery has left its mark on me. I still wear out a little quickly. I probably, by 1 o'clock today, I'll probably be wiped out, done for the day. I can't, you know, I have to be careful what I lift. Although I can lift a vacuum cleaner. Unfortunately, I met with my doctor this last week, and my wife specifically asked my doctor if I could lift a vacuum cleaner, and he said yes. You know, throughout this whole process, I have felt like, first off, I felt ridiculously and incredibly blessed. If I was born 50 years earlier, I would just slowly lose the use of my legs. If I was born in just about any other country in the world, I probably would go undiagnosed and end up in a wheelchair. But I don't. I live here. I'm just so grateful. And yes, it's painful, but I'm grateful. You know, during this time as well, I have felt God nudging me and speaking to me. You know, there's pastors in lots of different churches that get sabbaticals. I've never gotten a sabbatical at Canyon Springs, so I guess this was God's way of saying, take some time off. And during that time, this is a realization that I came to. That not only did I have a tumor in my spinal column, but I have tumors in my life. I have areas of my life that cause me hurt and cause me pain and cause other people pain. And this last 6 weeks has been an opportunity to look at some of those things in my life. I just made a list. I can be ungrateful. God has abundantly blessed me, and I'm always looking for something else. I could feel insecure. I don't know if you know what it's like to be a pastor and walk through not only this place and have hundreds of people looking at you, but literally thousands of people in this neighborhood know exactly who I am. And unfortunately for me, rather than just depending on what God thinks of me, sometimes I get concerned of what everybody else thinks of me as well. Sometimes I feel fear. I feel like my life is in the hands of doctors and nurses and not in the hands of a mighty God. You know, that tumor that was in my back was sending these feelings of pain down my legs and my feet. Well, these other tumors on my soul have caused me to walk with a limp for years. And not only did it cause me pain, it caused pain to the people around me. So that's what this sabbatical was all about. It's about sitting and listening. It was really the only thing I could do. And during that time, I felt like God has spoken to me in certain ways about my life. Now, my prayer is that this message would not be all about me. Because the reality is, a lot of you came in feeling that same way. There's something in your life that makes you walk with a limp. There's something in your life that hurts you and hurts the people around you. I was sitting down with a friend of mine, and he was telling me about the custody battle he's in with his children that has lasted years and years and years. And I can promise you, he would choose spinal cord surgery over that. And so if that's where you're at today, if you have something on your soul, if you're battling something, then my prayer is that through what God has done through me, that he would speak to you as well. So here's what I'd like you to do. Just take a moment. Why don't you bow your heads? And I want you to just pray this. Say, God, speak to me. You can even lay out, say, God, this is what's bothering me. This is what's hurting me. God, would you just communicate with me today? And help me to hear from you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to hear from you. That you'd speak clearly to each person. That in their hurt and in their weakness and in whatever is on their soul that is causing them distraction, God, that you would be right there. That you would speak to them like you've spoken to me. In your name we pray. Amen. So here was the commitment I made to myself. All right? When I was going through this, you're laying down a lot. In fact, I spent the first 3 days completely flat on my back. And what's probably the first easiest thing for you to do is to do what? Grab a television remote, right? In fact, the first room I was in, TV didn't work. Before I was even 2 hours in that room, they moved me to a different room so I could get a TV because that seemed to be a huge priority to them. And I decided that it wasn't going to be. What I decided is that I was going to read through the Book of Psalms. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the Book of Psalms, so let me give you a little background. It is, a lot of them are written by a guy named David, but there are a lot of these authors, and they're all pretty much in the same genre of deep pain, deep hurt, real emotion, calling on God over and over and over through the difficult times of life, and this is what God will do for them. So here's what I'd like you to do. I want to challenge you, if you're going through something like that, to have that Book of Psalms and have it close in your life and have it on your Bible app on your phone and read it at night and read it in the morning, because that's what I did. First, what I'd like you to do is grab your Bible, open it up, if you have it, to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 gives us the basis for this whole book, and so we're going to look at that really quickly. Psalm 1. Psalms are easy to find if you don't know where to find it in your Bible. It's right in the middle. Right in the middle. Just open your Bible in the middle. You'll probably find the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It starts like this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. All right, so he's not a Raider fan, okay? Or doesn't stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So that was my commitment. I'm going to, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm going to pull my Bible over. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to pull my Bible over. Wherever I left off, I'm going to keep doing that. I'm just going to keep reading, reading, reading. Right? Verse 3. That person. This is the result. You put God in front of you all the time. This is the result. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And underline this, whatever they do prospers. Now, how does that sound? Now, for us, I think it's really important that we understand what the word prosper means, all right? Because we think of prosper, we think that that means that every house we buy will go up in value, and every job we get will get a better job, and all of our lotto tickets will be winners. That's what we think of prospering. The word prosper, the original word, means this: to advance, to prosper, and to make progress. That's what reading the Bible will do. It will help you make progress. In your relationships, you will make progress. I saw this in my parents. When they became Christians, they were fighting 95% of the time, and by the time my dad died, they were only fighting 50% of the time. Progress. And if you battle stress, God will help you make progress. If you battle anxiety, God will help you make progress. If you battle how you feel about yourself and your image, God will help you make progress. Now, I have to tell you something, and this isn't fun to say, but it's reality. Some of these issues that you have will be lifelong pursuits. But the more you follow God, the more you will make progress in your life, the more you'll prosper. So this is the goal I set for myself. In these areas of my life, in my own insecurity, in my own fears that I have, in my own worries, in my own people-pleasing, God, help me to make progress in my life. So I started from beginning, and I'm not even done. I'm like two chapters away from being done with the book of Psalms. And there are a couple of issues, there are a couple of thoughts that are so overwhelming in this book, you cannot avoid them. They're practices that we need to put into our life. And the first one is this. You need to practice the presence of God. Practice Him being there. Now, if you've spent any time in church, I promise you, you've heard stuff like this. And you know this. God's with you all the time. No matter what you go through, God is right there with you. God is walking right by my side. You see the bumper sticker. God is my co-pilot. How good a driver are you if God has to be your co-pilot? All right, that's what I thought. It's a pretty common thought, right? We all believe it. But do we really feel that? Is that real to you? Or honestly, be honest with yourself. You know He's there, but you feel it. Are there times when you just feel lonely? Are there times do you feel like you are doing it on your own? How do we get to that place where we know that God is with us all the time, in ups and downs, in goods and bads, in our life? We have to practice it. As I'm reading this book, these are some of the verses that jumped out at me. I have them on the screen, I think. All right? Psalm 55, 17. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress. He hears my voice. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly. Psalm 65, 8. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. Evening, morning, He's there. I love this next one. Okay? I think I have a couple more. Say the same thing. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. They might meditate on your promises. You know what that means? That idea, watches of the night. It is like being a night watchman. That's what he's referring to. Somebody who watches a fortress in the middle of the night. Look, when God wakes you up in the middle of the night, it is not a call to SportsCenter. And it's not a call to get another glass of wine. Maybe he wants to get your attention. Now, when you are in the hospital, you are up in the watches of the night, especially that first night. And I didn't mind that so much. You know why? One word. Morphine. Okay, this is what I thought was really cool about my hospital stay, is I could have morphine whenever I wanted. I had just this little pump, and I could hit it every 6 minutes. Now, you guys know me. I don't have any of that kind of stuff in my background, so this is a really cool new experience for me. I'm not used to drugs at all. And so I could just hit it, and coursing through my veins would be this pain-relieving, sleep-inducing, hallucinogenic drug. There are two things that I wish I could install in my bedroom at home. That pump and the nurse's call button. That's what I wish I could have. But that is the reality of the hospital. You just got out of the hospital, right, Aaron? Through that first night, through the watches of the night, they are coming to you, they're checking your vital signs, they're checking you all the time, and that drug, it's not a very good sleep. You're waking up all of the time because of that drug that's coursing through your veins. And every time, I would wake up, I'd stretch my legs, because I was freaked out about blood clots, and I would pull over my iPad so that I could see it. No matter what time of night it was, I could see, and I could read, and I could let these verses sink into my soul. Verses like this. I think we have it up here. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Afterward, you take me to glory. Who am I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And I would meditate on that. That's a weird, big, churchy word. Let me explain. Meditate simply means to read over, to mull over. If you're not used to reading the Bible, let me help you with that. You don't have to understand everything, but read until you understand something. Read until there is a set of words or verses that speak to you. These became my prayers. I would just read over that. In fact, this is what I'd like you to do right now. I'm going to leave these verses up on the screen. I want you to just read those to yourself. Just look at them. In fact, to not distract you, I'm going to sit down. Just take a moment. What words stand out at you? What speaks to you? Somebody tell me, what's a word? Give me a word. Give me a phrase.
Always with you.
Strength of my heart. Yeah. Always with you.
Refuge.
Refuge. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Anybody ever need a refuge? This is what jumped out at me. Huh. My flesh and my heart may fail. Because my flesh has continued to let me down. But God's the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Let me tell you something. In this world, here are the messages that you get all the time. They're very clear. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not able. You aren't gifted. There are other people that are more gifted than you. There's a possibility that you're going to fail at what you're doing. You know, you need to run faster. You need to work harder. You need to be more than what you actually are. You need to be busier. You know, you probably need to just relax. Beer is the answer for you. Your body isn't good enough. You don't measure up. You should look differently. You should work out. And over and over and over, we hear these messages over and over and over, so much so that you could turn off all of your media and they would still echo in your brain. We need to put something new in our lives. We need to practice God's presence in our lives. Morning, evening, in the watches of the night, so that you can hear words like, I am your refuge. I will be your strength. I will carry you. Even if you're a sinful person, that's all right. I'm your daddy. Let me give you another practice that I learned through this book. I need to practice being thankful. You cannot open up this book and not hear this, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Every verse seems to say, praise, sing, be grateful, be jubilant, be joyful, in difficult times, be happy, be thankful. Great, over and over and over and over and over. It's overwhelming. I put some verses on the screen. I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. I'll remember your miracles of long ago. I'll consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Meditate on God's mighty deeds. Great word. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm, worked salvation for him. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Do you ever feel like you have a thirst that is unsatisfied in your life? That is who God does. That's who he is. Over and over, give thanks, be grateful, be thankful. This is an attitude that God values. This is at the heart of who God is. It is not optional. Gratefulness and thanksgiving is the greatest remedy for a hurt soul that I can think of. And it is one of the hardest for us to grasp. Now, let me tell you why it's hard for me. I don't know why it's hard for you. This is why it's hard for me. All right. I don't know if I mentioned this to you before I left, but back in June, I went to the World Cup soccer. I made a vow to mention that in every message so far this year. And that, actually, I'm just joking, but if you've been here, I have mentioned it in every message. So we went down and we stayed in Brazil. We stayed with my son's ex-water polo coach. He used to live here in the States. He lived here for 14 years. He grew up in Brazil. He came here for 14 years. Lived in the United States for 14 years. Got used to the United States for 14 years. And a year and a half, went back. And I tell you, I heard this. If I didn't hear this once, I heard it 20 times. He kept saying he's miserable in Brazil because nothing works in Brazil. ATMs don't work in Brazil. The internet never works in Brazil. My phone doesn't work in Brazil. Traffic lights do not work in Brazil. Traffic patterns don't work in Brazil. He hates Brazil. Nothing works. And we experienced that while we were down there. I needed to buy a couple of bus tickets. And so I got online and I paid my money and got my receipt that we got the bus tickets. We're supposed to get a confirmation email sending it back to me. Hey, here are your tickets. 8 hours later, we never got it. So we showed up at the bus station the next morning. We're trying to get to where we're supposed to go. And we had to go and say, hey, we bought 4 bus tickets. But here's our receipt. He says, no, you didn't. You only bought 3. He says, my receipt says I bought 4. No, you only bought 3. So after 25 minutes of arguing in Portuguese, not me, my friend, we had to buy another bus ticket. Now, listen. That's not the way things work in the United States, is it? And I can prove it, because everybody knows this phrase, and you can complete it for me, all right? Complete this phrase for me. The customer is
always right.
If I show up with my receipt, I get my 4 bus tickets, no questions asked. In fact, because they caused a problem for me, I could probably argue myself into getting a free meal on my bus. Or I can get 20% off the next time I get on my bus, because that's the way it works in the United States. If I don't like it, if I'm not satisfied, I talk to the manager, they make it right. What can I do for you, Mr. Hawkins? How can we help you? This is why we love Costco. When did you buy that, Mr. Hawkins? 3 years ago. It's broken. Here, let us give you a new one. This is also why we love Nordstrom. It's one of the many reasons why we love Nordstrom. There are stories about people taking back old underwear. I didn't make that up. I looked it up. And they'll take it back. What do they do with it? They just put it in the bag, please. We'll give you whatever you want. Please leave. Get out of here. Just go. You weren't just wearing that, right? This is how business works. And you know, as a business practice, it's a good business practice to take care of the customers. But what I've realized in my own life is my expectation for how things work in my life is that I will always get my way. Now, that was working really good for me the moment I got out of surgery, because all the circumstances leading up to my surgery was like, boom, 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 I'm getting what I want. It was great. And I got a great surgeon. And as soon as I got out, I wanted to know how the surgery went. And I asked my wife, I says, this is what the doctor said. They rolled you out, and the doctor says, Jack's doing great, and I did great. A little cocky, but you want that in your doctor. I was feeling great until they switched from the afternoon nurse to the evening nurse. The afternoon nurse was there instantly. Hit that button, boom, she's there, whatever I need. On three different occasions, my evening nurse, my night nurse, was 25 minutes late. And all of a sudden, now I'm feeling like, wow, I'm being mistreated. Because I'm not getting exactly what I want, exactly when I want it. Listen, gratefulness is not getting what you want when you want it. Gratefulness is being a detective looking for the good, looking for something to be thankful for, looking to your past at what God has given you, looking across your table at the children that you love, looking at your home and go, how could you have put us here? Looking at your friends and saying, thank you for them. Looking at your health, if you're healthy, and saying, God, thank you that I'm healthy. That's what being grateful is. And we've been taught everything should go your way and you are always right. But that is not the way life works. Life is hard and difficult, and we go through hard things, and if we're grateful people, we hang on to the good things. We grab onto those things and we say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me those things. And even though it's hard, I know you're faithful and you'll give them again. One more practice I learned. And as I learned to practice the presence of people, I think that's what we need to do. Let me tell you, if you ever go through surgery, you want to be a part of this church specifically. For one, you guys can cook, man. We have people bringing food to our house. We have one guy bring tri-tip sandwiches. He made the tri-tip, pulled it off his barbecue, drove it over to our house, sliced it, and put it in our sandwich. It was worth surgery. Our kitchen has never seen that before. It was awesome. I just craved that contact. And people came with me. You came with me. And we sat down and we chatted. And friends would come to visit me and lift up my spirits. I got card after card after card. You know what my favorite cards were? Gift cards. I'm kidding. Look at this. I have a bag of letters from all the kids in our children's ministry telling me to get well and take care of yourself. Let me read you a verse. Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's a creepy little verse, isn't it? It sounds gross. I don't want to have friends. That's what it means. It's an image of the ordination ceremony for a priest. And they anoint his head with oil and the celebration begins. That's what it's like. You know what? It's another call. Be involved in the lives of people. Do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of the people. Join a small group at Canyon Springs so that you have people in your life. Be a part of a men's group that happens. Cliff's still doing the men's group on Saturday. I would do it, you know, just to spend time with Cliff is worth it. Women's Bible Study is about to start again. We've been talking, Steve talked a couple weeks ago, intentional Christian friendship. Find people in your life that you naturally connect with and say, we're going to get together and only to talk about our relationship with God so we can challenge each other. Serve someplace. Recommit to being present at home. Let me give you one way to recommit to being present at home. Put away your screens. had this image in my mind of families sitting together and not only watching television, but they're sitting with their phone in their lap. Commit yourself as the adult in the family to put away your screen. You can't make it through something like this without somebody holding you up. And I want to say as I close, and Paul, Kyle, you guys can come get ready. I want to say as I close that the staff at Canyon Springs was awesome. And specifically, I just want to mention Paul Murray, who not only did everything, but was there as a friend to hold me up and lift me up and love me as a brother. I got the Book of Psalms and I pulled it into my lap every opportunity. What would happen in your life if you took this next month, that morning, noon and night, and if God wakes you up in the middle of the night, in the watches of the night, you were to pull that book and let it just bathe in it? What would happen to you? I wonder if anybody wants to take that challenge. Is there anybody here who wants to take that challenge for the Book of Psalms? And just let them bathe in it. You don't have to. Don't give in to peer pressure. Let me take a moment. I'm going to pray for our family here. Lord Jesus, there are tumors on our soul. And I pray that we would learn from you. That we would just let you soak into our life. God, I pray for those people who are hurting right now, that they would practice your presence. And you would make them new. Do surgery on that and make them new. Thank you, Lord Jesus.